107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Friday, also a football Friday. We got football to talk about here. Later on in the hour, Dalton, I am fascinated. Dalton has found audio of a prank on Senator Lindsey Graham. Where was this like a radio show, or was this a...
You know, I'm not sure, but apparently these two Russian pranksters, they call them.
Because remember, there's a Russian prank. Who do they prank? Remember, there's a Russian show. They prank somebody.
We had a similar situation like this before, but not quite like this. But Politico.
Oh, it was the dossier call. They called and they said they had knowledge of the dossier, and it was, yeah, they some Democrat they had gotten on there.
That's what it was. But Politico has audio of, I guess, these two Russian pranksters, Alexei Stolyarov and Vladimir Kuznetsov.
Vladimir in the morning.
Yeah.
Crazy morning zoo.
Fun Russian weather news. They acted, I guess, like they were the Turkish defense minister, Hulusi Akar, and they call into Lindsey Graham's office, and Politico has recorded audio of this, I'm guessing that came from the Russian pranksters' side of things, and you know what Lindsey Graham's been going out and saying? He's been coming out against the president this
last week.
Right,
the president's move to remove troops from Turkey, I mean, from Syria.
But in this call, and I haven't had the chance to listen to the entire thing, but they're reporting that apparently in this call, Lindsey Graham says, you're thinking he's speaking to the Turkish defense minister, he says, your Kurdish problem is a big problem. Your YPG Kurdish problem is a big problem. He said, I told President Trump that Obama made a huge mistake in relying on the YPG Kurds. And he goes on from there. But yes.
Okay, we'll try to get into this in the second half of this hour. This
crazy.
It's good stuff. But yeah, right now it's even more good stuff. It's Football Friday. We are on the cusp of another big weekend. You said Separation Saturday?
Yeah, we always have.
That's when football fans leave their family to go somewhere and watch football.
No. That's when a lot of wives and girlfriends officially file for separation.
Because, right, right.
That's
just in my house, it's me. The missus, she watches way more than I do.
Yes, she does. And she would be out picking me right now in the Pick'em Challenge if she was able to make it into the group.
That's right.
I'm glad she didn't make it.
She's in the wrong
group. But right now, you're out picking me in the FM Talk 106.5 Challenge, along with at least 20 other people as we continue to roll on through the season. But yeah, they call it Separation Saturday. It's not a specific Saturday of the year. And I'm not saying that tomorrow will necessarily be a Separation Saturday, but there's always that point in the year where all kinds of upsets happen. Teams that have been kind of hovering near the top of the standings and rankings experience their first losses or second losses of the season, and you find out they're not quite that quality that you need to be to win your conference or make it to the playoffs. So tomorrow has a lot of potential to be a Separation Saturday. Even in the SEC, where we have two top 25 ranked games tomorrow. Now, Auburn is off after losing last weekend to the Florida Gators in Gainesville, and a much-needed weekend off for the Auburn Tigers as they're dealing with some attrition on both sides of the ball right now. We were talking earlier this week and today about Booby Whitlow, the star running back who has a knee injury. He'll be out for at least a month, maybe up to 6 weeks. That's a pretty big loss for Auburn, but at least they're not fielding a team tomorrow, so
yes,
he won't be missing tomorrow's game.
No.
But Alabama, they've got, I think, is their first, I don't know if I'd call it their first real test, but it's their first.
A&M, this is a real test.
Yeah, okay, it is
don't
a real
try to
test.
Sandbag this.
But when you look at the line that's put out there by Las Vegas, they've only got Alabama. They have Alabama favored by 17 points.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not talking about like a field goal or anything like that. You're right.
It's not
like
35.
The other games they've played this year. But when you look at Texas A&M, of course, this is a team that has maybe the toughest schedule in the country. When you think of the teams that have the toughest schedules, Auburn is right there at the top of the list. South Carolina just has an unreal difficult schedule. Texas A&M, they've already played Auburn and Clemson. That's where they've gotten their first two losses of the year. And now they welcome the Alabama Crimson Tide into College Station tomorrow. The good news for them is they're coming off a bye from last weekend. The bad news for them is that Alabama is also coming off a bye.
Right, right.
So both teams should be well-rested coming into this game. Both have really good defenses. I don't think Bama's defense rises to that level.
Bama's defense is probably weak. I mean, it's weak as compared to what the Bama defense was at the beginning of the season.
That's right. Okay. Everything's relative.
Yes.
And when you look back in the last, you know, decade of Alabama football, the defense has always been the strongest part of the team. now it's like an entirely new generation here where the offense is the most important part.
That's very strange.
Bama's defense only allowing 15 points per game, but you look on the other side, A&M, their defense is only allowing 18 points per game, and they've already had a much tougher schedule. Hmm. The offense is, on the other hand, a bit of a different story here. We all know how explosive Alabama's offense is, 52 points per game and 555 yards per game. I mean, imagine if they were having those numbers 10 years ago, 9, 8, 7 years ago,
yeah.
How dominant they would have been then with those defenses. You compare that to A&M's offense, they're getting 33 points per game and 426 yards per game. Now, the weak point of Alabama's defense right now would be the rushing defense.
Mm-hmm.
They've given up some good rushing yards. The problem for A&M is that's their weakest point on offense right now. The last three games, A&M has only rushed for 189 yards total over the last three games.
So what would be Bama's weakness is also on the offensive side, A&M's weakness.
That's right.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
But A&M's passing game, I don't think, is that much better than their running game, because Kellen Mond is their quarterback, and he was hyped for a couple years, hyped up as a pretty good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He just has not had it this year, and I'm not sure that the A&M offense will serve as much of a threat to the Alabama defense tomorrow. It'll be interesting what A&M's defense is able to do to Alabama's offense, because Alabama hasn't faced a defense like this year. We'll see if anybody is able to slow down that Tua Tagovailoa passing game.
All right, so that is so you feel the line is
17 points with A&M's defense. I feel like they could get inside that number, but I'm not really worried about Alabama losing this game at all.
Okay.
I'm thinking, and it's in College Station. You got to keep that in mind. So it's a road game for Alabama. I'm betting, probably literally, that they're going to win by about two touchdowns.
Okay, yeah, 14-14. Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. So the biggest game tomorrow night in LSU, in Baton Rouge, number 5, LSU hosts number 7, Florida. Both teams are undefeated. We all know that Florida had that big win over Auburn this last weekend. That's their first top 10, top 25 win of the year. Actually, they beat Miami the first week of the season while Miami was ranked, even though they ended up being a lesser team than a lot of people thought they'd be.
Right.
But no bones about it. This last win against Auburn was a huge win for Florida. LSU, on the other hand, they've already got a top 25 win also.
Yeah.
They beat Texas earlier this year. And College Game Day, it'll be back in Baton Rouge tomorrow, the second week in a row that they will have been at a Florida game, because they were in Gainesville mm-hmm. this last Saturday. And earlier this week, there was a report that Zion Williamson would be the guest picker for this College Game Day there in Baton Rouge. Of course, he's now the face of the New Orleans Pelicans and a big deal in Louisiana. But LSU came out and refuted that news because they don't want a Duke guy to be the face of College Game Day when they come to LSU. They have a basketball program, too. They probably don't want to promote that other basketball program there in the Carolinas.
Zion, while he's playing for the Pelicans, it's not like he's – I mean, he is a Louisiana resident by about, what, 6 months?
Yeah, it hasn't been long.
Right.
Not at all. And but, you know, ESPN, they want to get the biggest faces on there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Zion will be the guest picker tomorrow. And remember, last year, LSU came into this game. It was in Gainesville last year, but LSU also had a 5-0 record last year, and the Gators ended up rallying to win that game 27-19. LSU, though, a much healthier team coming into this one. They had a bye, not this last week, but the week before. Then they beat the stew out of Utah State last weekend. So they're mostly healthy and rested right now. Florida, on the other hand, they played that week 0 game against Miami. Then they got a week off. Then they've played 5 more games in a row without a bye. And they're pretty beat up on both sides of the ball right now. Of course, they lost their starting quarterback, Felipe Franks, against Kentucky just a few weeks ago. But the backup, Kyle Trask, came in and has it really hasn't been a drop off at all from Felipe Franks with him in. But you got to look at LSU's offense versus Florida's defense in this game tomorrow night. The LSU offense, in their 5 wins, they've put up 55 points, 45 points, 65 points, 66 points,
jeez,
and then 42 points against Utah State last week. So
I didn't realize it was that kind of...
And then you look at Florida, they've got a top 5 defense right now. I mean, we watched them harass Bo Nix and the Auburn offense last week. It'll be really interesting to see how LSU counters that that just vicious Florida pass rush, and then those cornerbacks who are ball hawks. I mean, Florida leads the nation in turnovers this year, or in interceptions so far this season. So I'm really interested to see how LSU's Heisman candidate quarterback Joe Burrow goes up against that Florida defense tomorrow night.
Tell you what, it was watching that game last weekend. You're right, those Florida guys. The interception thing, it's just the like one-handed leaping interceptions.
They're ball hawks. And then they have the potential to take it back the other way anytime they get their hands on it.
And I didn't realize LSU had been scoring those kind of numbers.
It's a new age for LSU and Alabama's offenses. They just put up the unreal days of points.
Defense and run the ball. Things are changing. 8:17, we're coming right back. Hey, thank you, text line at 343-0106. I had forgotten who the Russian pranksters had pranked last time with the dossier thing. And the naked pictures of Trump was Adam Schiff. It's funny how things come around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seriously. So way back then. I wonder if it's these same guys.
If they
Moscow's are. Moscow's craziest morning show.
Maybe they need to just stop taking calls from Russian-sounding people.
I don't know, man. He was doing a Turkish thing this last year. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We are fully embroiled in Football Friday. I'm writing furiously these notes down because I want to try to hold on to my, I think I'm ninth place or something in college pick'em.
You're only like two games back.
That's
right. The high-stepping turkeys are on a roll this year.
I mean, that's what happens when you step high.
It's been a great year for you so far. Not the same for me. I need to really pick it up this weekend.
So the man who knows, this is like when it comes to, when we're talking about the March Madness brackets and all that stuff, that like the people that know the most know too much.
Yeah.
There's a certain sweet spot. We've had stories about it. You have to know just enough, but not too much, because when you know too much about the teams and all the stuff, you second and triple guess yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me, I mark in space, and then I do okay.
Yeah, if you read enough about these games, you can really convince yourself that a team that's the underdog has a real shot at winning a game. And then you look at other ones, and they might be, you know, close lines, according mm-hmm. to Vegas, a real toss-up game, and you pick the favorite in some of those, and the underdog wins. I mean, you're right. I would save myself a lot of time if I just quit reading about these games as much as I do before I go into the weekend.
Just went and did it. All right, what game are we talking about now?
Well, we were just talking about Florida LSU, and I did want to play a clip really quickly. This went viral this week on Twitter, and we all know that people like to, you know, do the Ed Orgeron voice whenever they get a chance.
You listening, Randy?
He's got the most unique voice in probably all of college football. But a video went out this week, so I was talking about LSU's win over Utah State on Saturday. That game mm-hmm. was on SEC Nation. And after the game, as the players were leaving the field, Don Davenport, the on-field reporter there, interviewed Ed Orgeron. And somebody after the game, Timothy Burke on Twitter, said, "Something went wrong with my archival encode of the Utah State LSU game." He said all the audio from this interview ended up pitch shifted down 100%. He said it resulted in this.
I can see all those young backs making some strides. I thought we did a very good job of running the football and controlling the clock inside through the game plan.
On the other side of the ball, we always talk about offense, but you challenged your defense this week, and they certainly answered your call. What'd you like from them?
Probably did the end zone. We tackled well. We kept the ball in front. We rushed the passing well.
You sure that's not audio from a South Park episode?
Yeah, I know. It sounds like the devil in the South Park episodes, but there you go. That went viral this week. Ed Orgeron, in his already low voice, pitch shifted down extra 100%.
I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head all weekend. Thanks.
So we talked about the two top 25 games in the SEC this week. The other ranked team that has a game this week, the Georgia Bulldogs, they welcome in the unranked South Carolina Gamecocks mm-hmm. into Athens, Georgia. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow morning. Georgia favored by 25 points over Will Muschamp's squad here. Of course, Georgia's undefeated. That's why they're the third-ranked team in the nation. They do have that win over then, I think, number 7-ranked Notre Dame when they beat them then. South Carolina, on the other hand, they've had some issues this year. Already have losses to North Carolina, Alabama, Missouri. They did pick up a big win over Kentucky, 24-7, before they had their bye week this weekend. Georgia did not have a bye. Well, actually, they did. They played Tennessee this last weekend, so they got a little bit of a rest against
not,
the Vols.
That's you saying it.
If you look at the stats, Georgia much better in just about every category on both sides of the ball. And on the other side, South Carolina has a freshman quarterback in Ryan Helinski. He's going into Athens. I think the Georgia defense, who just faced a freshman quarterback last week in Tennessee mm-hmm. and harassed him all game long. I think they're going to make it really difficult on South Carolina. But I want to see a Georgia game. They start so slowly. They've been real slow starters this year, then they pick it up in the second half a lot of the times and then win by pretty big margins. I want to see them go up against a team that jumps out to an early lead, a good 14, 17-point lead over Georgia, and see what they have to do there where they can't just use their amazing run game the entire game. I want to see them have to put the ball in Jake Fromm's hands and throw it around, but that's not going to happen this weekend against South Carolina. That game starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see if Georgia gets a slow start. Maybe Muschamp can capitalize on that. I'm not expecting much of a test for the Bulldogs. Then you have those Tennessee Vols I just mentioned.
Uh-huh.
1-4 this season, still looking for their first win over an FBS school. Not a Power 5 program, but an FBS school.
Yes.
They've got one win over Chattanooga this year. So they welcome Mississippi State into Knoxville tomorrow. And as poorly as this year has gone for Tennessee,
yes,
I've got to hand it to the fans, the Vols fans. They just, I don't know if they love the pain or what it is, but they keep showing up to these games at Neyland Stadium. And actually, when they took the lead over Georgia in the second quarter last week, the stadium was as loud as like a primetime top 10 ranked
mm-hmm.
game.
Mm-hmm.
That's how crazy these Vols fans have been. They've got a freshman quarterback, Brian Maurer. He's expected to start again tomorrow. He brought some juice to the team. They looked a lot different than they did the first 4 weeks of the season. Mississippi State, they're coming off a bye week after Auburn whooped up on them a couple Saturdays ago. And they've got that quarterback, Garrett Schrader. He's also a freshman, so a lot of freshman quarterbacks running around in the SEC this year. But we saw against Auburn, especially in the second half, he used his legs a lot to get first downs. He was kind of dropping back and then running quarterback draws up the middle. That's right now, on a weak Tennessee defense, that's the weakest part of the defense, is the middle of the field in their front seven. So I think Garrett Schrader is going to run the ball a whole lot tomorrow for Mississippi State. You could see the quarterback with over 100 yards rushing. And Tennessee, they could still pull off the win, though. I know the fans are crazy. They're looking for their first big win of the season. It mm-hmm. could just come tomorrow against Mississippi State. A couple more SEC games. Ole Miss plays at Missouri. I know Missouri fans were really worried about their quarterback, Kelly Bryant. He took a nasty shot to the knee against Troy. Missouri ended up winning big, but last Saturday, a Troy defender went into Kelly Bryant's knees. He went off the field, came back out in sweatpants, looked like he could have a really serious injury. The good news for them is it ended up just being a knee sprain.
Right.
And he is supposed to be available for them tomorrow. Ole Miss, they've lost to a pretty pesky California team. They lost to Cal and then Alabama the next week. We all saw how that went. This last weekend, they easily handled Vanderbilt at home. And I think a lot of people are thinking Missouri's going to come into this game and just roll right over Ole Miss.
Right.
They're 11-point favorites. But if you look at the stat sheets, Mississippi's, their stats aren't that bad on offense. They're actually able to put up quite a bit of points. And Missouri, I think, a bit overrated at this point, still midway through the season.
Okay.
I think Ole Miss tomorrow has a really good shot to go into Missouri and win this game outright as 11-point dogs. That's
okay.
My upset pick of the week right there is Ole Miss beating Missouri. Then you have Arkansas.
I'll hold you to that.
Arkansas plays at Kentucky tomorrow night. Not much to say about this game. Two of the worst teams in the SEC. Kentucky now has lost 3 in a row. Arkansas has lost 2 in a row. One of those to Texas A&M a couple weekends ago, mm-hmm. which that's understandable. Pretty big rivalry game there. The other loss, though, to San Jose State, which is one of the worst teams in the Midwest Conference,
right.
And Arkansas fell to them. Statistically, Arkansas's offense has been a lot better than Kentucky's this year, and the Kentucky defense really hadn't been that much better than Arkansas's. So I think Arkansas, if their cards are played right, they could go into Kentucky tomorrow night and get the win.
Sue-wee.
That's not my upset pick, but I do think they have a really good
Sue-wee.
Shot. Yeah, sue-wee. Those fans are the greatest there in Arkansas. And then two more top 25 games. Oklahoma plays Texas. The Red River Shootout, Showdown, Rivalry, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. One of the greatest games in the country. Of course, they were trying to compare it to the Iron Bowl earlier this week, and I don't agree with that at all. Iron Bowl, a much more mm-hmm. difficult game. This is going to be a shootout tomorrow night, though. We've seen how good Oklahoma's offense is. Texas is dealing with a ton of injuries in the secondary. Jalen Hurts ought to be able to drop back and throw for 350 yards at least
wow.
tomorrow night against Texas. Now, whether Texas and their quarterback Sam Ellinger can keep up on the offensive side of the ball, that will decide whether this becomes a true tight game in the end. But I expect Oklahoma to put up a lot of points, and I think Texas will put up a lot of points too.
All right, and the win goes to?
I think Oklahoma ends up pulling it out. A close one, though.
All right, good stuff. It's Football Fridays with Dalton Orwig. We're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
A36 Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning.
You know, we've talked a lot about, of course, all the awesome new and used vehicles that you can buy at McConnell Automotive. Something we haven't spent a lot of time on is the collision center. You can get the car worked on, too.
That's right. We've got a state-of-the-art body shop in the back. Gary Turner has been in the business just about all of his life. And, you know, we do any car, any wreck, any car, give them a call back there. We're set up with a good towing company. We'll get it towed here. Free estimates. The people in the back are just wonderful. We also have a great service department here. I mean, come in, get your oil changed pretty quick. We got free Wi-Fi. If you got to go somewhere, we got courtesy people will take you wherever you want to go. Or you can browse around the lot, look at all the new cars we have. We got that great, I hate to keep harping on it, but that 3/4 ton, the new body style, It is just flying out of here. And we've got some AT4s in that style. We also have some regular Denalis, and they are just absolutely flying out of here, which goes into the point that we've got a bunch of trays, a bunch of 3/4 ton diesel four-wheel drives. We got a little inexpensive four-wheel drive trucks right here. You want to take one up to the hunting camp and leave it, we've got them less than $15,000. Or check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or come see us.
All right. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right. If you weren't listening at the beginning of the hour, we were setting up what we're about to do. This is absolutely breaking news, even without a sounder. Breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
There you go. Story from Politico. Lindsey Graham dishes on Trump in hoax calls with Russians, right? So you're setting this up. This is, who are these two guys?
So these two Russian pranksters, that's how they've been referred to. Not sure if they have a radio show.
They must have a crazy Russian morning show.
Yeah. Good morning from Russia. Don't know if they, you know, upload it to YouTube. I'll find out more about, you know, where they put all their content. Or they're called Russian pranksters, but who knows if they're, you know, working for the Russian government or what.
But
might
these are the
on.
Same guys, right? I was correct that had, and we found out it was Adam Schiff. Mm-hmm. They called with, we have pictures of the naked Trump.
Yeah, so yes. They tricked Democrats and apparently Republicans alike. This latest prank, we were talking about when we were trying to listen. I mean, it's a 17-minute call here. So,
right. So, we can't get the whole thing.
Get to the whole thing. But some of the things that they prank Lindsey Graham. I need to go ahead and say that. Senator Lindsey Graham is the prankee in this situation. Yes. They call in to his, I guess, assistant. The assistant puts them through on the line with Senator Graham. Now, these pranksters are acting like they're Turkish defense minister Hulusi Akar.
Right.
And this comes from, you know, everything that's happening in Turkey and Syria right now.
And hearing them set this up, they're smart enough here, number one, to get to have the numbers to get that much, you know, get that close to be on the personal line. But number two, they know what happened previously. They set this up earlier in the call, and they said, you know, we know you talked to some other, it was a Turkish official.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, they gain some confidence as they, you know, your previous conversation with whatever defense minister or whatever it was, this minister so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And when they set that up, that I hear them do that in this bit, and I'm like, aha, pretty good move there to set up some validity.
So I'm cutting through in the interview to after they talk to the assistant. She puts him on hold, says that Lindsey Graham is voting on something and he'll be back and they'll try to get in touch with him. So here's when Lindsey Graham picks up on the call.
Hello.
Oh, good day, Mr. Senator.
I really appreciate you calling me. Thank you for calling me.
Me too. Thank you for taking the time to have such an important conversation.
Yes, I want to make this a win-win if we can.
So, I know that you have already held the talks with my colleague, the foreign minister.
Yeah, foreign minister. Yes.
Yes. And therefore, I would like to talk to you through my ministry. And
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Probably you know, yesterday I talked with your new secretary, Esper. And
I did not know that.
Yes, we are trying to find a common ground on the safety line.
Yes, good.
Which is not easy for us. As far as I understand, President Trump has entrusted you with this negotiations.
Let me tell you what he told me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to impose sanctions on our ally, Turkey. I want us to move toward a free trade agreement. And mm-hmm. I've convinced my Republican colleagues to stand down, that right now the system's not activated, so there's no reason to talk about sanctions. And I'm hoping you can work with our military to get the S-400 in a good spot so that we can move to a free trade negotiation.
That's perfect. And yes, that's a good news. And I know, but first I would like to say that the purchase of S-400 is an internal matter of Turkey, but so our president think that it could be like a invasion in our internal matter, as to let you know, probably. Mm. So, and I also is interested to make our free trade agreement, if it's possible.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing we can do to.
So, Lindsey Graham talks with these pranksters who are acting like the Turkish defense minister. Turkish defense minister, and they're talking about the S-400 there, which is a Russian
air defense system.
Right, and they're talking about, you know, setting up a good trade agreement between the two countries. I'm going to try to skip ahead here now. The audio source that I'm using here makes it a little difficult to find out exactly where I'm putting it, but he does speak about the Kurdish and what Turkey's doing in Syria, and let's see if this part lines up.
Receiving this 400, I'm saying that's not a substantial transaction. As a friend, and I really do appreciate our alliance with Turkey, you've been very helpful with ISIS and other matters. If the system gets activated, our law is just going to take over. It's a $4 billion system. I know that. The F-35 program is $10 billion in economic benefit to Turkey. But a free trade agreement, I think, would be probably the best thing that could happen to both economies. So just keep talking with the Secretary of Defense. But the president told me to tell President Erdogan that he wants to turn the discussion to a free trade agreement. And I can set up a phone call between the two presidents if you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to do that?
Yes, sure. You know... Okay.
And I'll be on the phone. I'll be on the phone call.
Oh, okay. Yes, I will also tell to...
Why don't you report back to your people that Senator Graham is willing to try to set up a phone call with President Trump.
I'll try to skip ahead here again because he does get to the Kurdish forces talk here in a minute.
Yeah, and this comes from the fact that, Lindsey Graham, obviously while we're doing that, Lindsey Graham's been outspoken against the president removing the U.S. troops from northeastern Syria. Now we've watched the last couple of days of the Turks coming in and killing the Kurds.
Of agreement, which is a free trade agreement.
So I really worry about the position of my president. So
yeah, I do too. And I don't know what to tell you other than I am doing all I know to do. And President Trump is very sympathetic to the situation of President Erdogan, but the Congress is not sympathetic. The Congress, Democrats, are not sympathetic at all. And we've lost some Republicans here when it comes to Turkey. And Turkey is too valuable of an ally to get in a dispute with. We need to end this dispute and talk about something and move to a stronger relationship.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm trying everything I know. You know, your YPG Kurdish problem is a real problem. I told President Trump that Obama made a huge mistake in relying on the YPG Kurds. Everything I worried about has come true. And now we got to make sure that Turkey's protected from this threat in Syria. I'm sympathetic to the YPG problem. And so is the president, quite frankly. So what I want to do is make sure that Turkey is not threatened by any settlement in Syria. I want to make sure that Turkey has a stronger relationship with the United States under President Trump, that you get back in the F-35 program, and that we don't sanction our friends. That's my goal.
That's a great.
All right, we're running the break. We come back more on this. So, I mean, what we're getting at is there's a little bit, and I will argue, I know that the Twitter is alive with people blasting Lindsey Graham on this, but there's two things going on. Number one, this is a sales call about the F-35. Okay, number one, think about this. Sales call on the F-35. Beware of the government industrial complex, the manufacturer of military might and its relationship with the government. You know, we've heard that a long time ago. But this is a sales call for the F-35. At the same time, he's dancing around it a little bit here because the YPG, he's not saying the Kurds, he's saying specific groups, you know, that have, because Kurdish, there's Kurdish people in Iraq and Iran and in Syria. You know, there are a lot of places. So he's getting specific on this, but he wants to keep Turkey as a partner. The rhetoric is obviously different here from, if it's rhetoric or a sales call, from Senator Graham than it is when he questions the president's move to take those troops out.
Right.
Which is one, you know, one I have actually, the other day I said I was in a weird place. I was agreeing with Lindsey Graham and it was a tough thing. But does Lindsey really believe it? We'll talk about that more in his own words when we come back right here on Mobile Mornings. By the way, the story I linked up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. You can grab it right there. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Yeah, this texter says, don't these clowns in Washington have color ID? Which could be, of course, you can mask that. But you would ask a fair question there. Is it that hard to get through? Shouldn't it be harder to get through and not be vetted when you're talking to Senator Lindsey Graham?
Well, part of that, I wonder, you know, you expect from a government, you would expect any nation's government to be pretty high class, I guess that's the word I would use, that they would all be as above board as the United States with, like, making sure that the wrong people don't get through. But I imagine a lot of these, you know, lower rent countries out there, and I'm not...
Did you just call Turkey low rent?
Maybe not Turkey necessarily.
I think you did.
But they probably don't have the same kind of, you know... They don't have the same kind of checks and balances on making sure that everything is on the up and up with whoever's calling who. So maybe, you know, the State Department is dealing with people that are just calling them and saying, hey, I'm the Turkish defense minister and I need to talk to Senator Lindsey Graham.
Okay, but you have to, there's a couple things. You have to have, sure, you can, I mean, you can Google the person's name.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody who can do, you know, a plausible somebody who's a native Turkish speaker speaking English, right? Okay, you do a good job there. And then you have to know enough facts to be in the conversation, right? You almost have to, whether you pay them off or not, to set this up, you have to name drop or refer to a previous conversation, which I think gives you this validity. So once they get in, these guys are obviously pretty good at this. How do they get the... But you can call... all of us can call Senator Graham's office.
Right.
But it should be the job of somebody on staff to then call back and confirm and use their judgment there. I mean, see how it happens. But yeah, people would say, you know, is this showing a weakness in our system? Maybe. And the interesting thing is, too, I'm going to go, because the whole thing is that Lindsey Graham, so the whole takeaway is that Lindsey Graham is being two-faced.
Right. Because he came out this last week as Turkey is invading Syria to go after the Kurds there. Senator Graham came out and said, I'm completely against this move.
He was against the move of removing the U.S. troops that precipitated the Turkish invasion.
Right. He said that we were betraying our allies there. But then he gets on this call with who he thinks is the Turkish defense minister, and I'll play that part of the clip one more time. This is where he says he's sympathetic to President Erdogan.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm trying everything I know. You know, your YPG Kurdish problem is a real problem. I told President Trump that Obama made a huge mistake in relying on the YPG Kurds. Everything I worried about has come true. And now we got to make sure that Turkey's protected from this threat in Syria. I'm sympathetic to the YPG problem. And so is the president, quite frankly.
Okay. So, okay, but the YPG is a group within... So there are a lot of Kurds in the YPG. They're not all Kurds. But there's Kurdish people in the YPG.
It's a
faction. The YPG, it is. But the YPG isn't all Kurds. I mean, that's like, you know, saying... So... I mean, it's, God bless if I have to defend Lindsey Graham. I hate to do this. I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach. But he may be. Now, of course, he's a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mincing words a little bit here. But maybe you can be specific and say, I get it. Y'all got this issue with the YPG. This specific group. They're a leftist group, the YPG. And by the way, everybody who sent me the stuff, oh, Sean, you like the Kurds. They're not all communists. They're not all one way. There's some very, very pro-American and pro-Western Kurds, and then there's people that look to the Soviet Union. But this YPG, you could almost say, that group, I get it, y'all are having trouble with that group. Now, he should have then said, but you need to, this idea of slaughtering the Kurds is right, and he didn't do that.
But, yeah, and that would, I guess, work against his interest in the call.
The F-35.
Which was the F-35. And also, you know, if the president put Lindsey Graham in charge of this, in charge of these negotiations.
And that seems interesting, too, if Lindsey's pushing back against the president and then he's in charge of it.
Right. So who moved first? Did the president see that Graham would be against this move and said, well, you're now in charge of this?
So here you go,
have to
Lindsey.
Change your tune. And also, would Lindsey Graham have had, you know, the stones to say, no, I'm so against this move that I'm not going to help out at all? It doesn't appear that the conversation went that way, if it did at all. But this leaked phone call, I mean, it's two Russian pranksters that made this call, but this is some pretty juicy stuff coming out from the office of Senator Graham.
So we'll be talking about this more coming up in the midday show, and part of the show coming up, we'll talk about the Mobile City Council meeting that wasn't yesterday. Well, there's some showed up, but they didn't have enough for a quorum, so they didn't have the meeting. And this is having to do with reinstating the deal with Carnival for 3 more years for the Fantasy Line coming here. So we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Oh, somebody's pointing out, maybe that's it, that the moving around. Okay, there we go. Chester says, never liked Turkey ever since Punch-Out had two bald bulls on it. Bald bull, if you remember, Dalton, you probably don't. Punch-Out is an old video game.
I do remember the game.
There was one of the fighters you had to fight going through the, like, you start off and you start with Glass Joe and you work the whole way through. One of the fighters you fight is a fighter from Istanbul, Turkey, Bald Bull.
Is this Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Bald Bull. And, you know, Chester, maybe that started my dislike of the Turks as well. Maybe that was it. Maybe that's deep in my subconscious. All right, Mike Gallagher on next.